For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Well, don't blame me. I didn't vote for Robert L. Peters. Well, you probably didn't either. Let's just be honest. And, you know, if you don't know who Robert L. Peters is by now, he is just one of the foremost American businessmen. He is just, you know, he is connected. He is sharp. He's making the deals. Well, sure, it's an alias for Vice President Joe Biden that he used to, you know, make money behind everyone's back. But listen, if you're doing all that shenanigans, you can't really make up a good name. What was one of the other ones? J.B. Ware or Robinette? Well, I don't know. I've lost track of it. I do know my name. It's Larry Behrens. And you know it's not made up because I would make up a much better name than Larry Behrens. Probably Awesome Dude would be my name. Yeah, that probably wouldn't work either. So glad you've joined us. You have stumbled onto Power Punch today, and I'm so glad you did. We're going to talk a whole lot. Yeah, we're going to talk energy, but we're going to talk a whole lot that is going on in the world, those COVID lockdowns. I'm going to talk about how the media messes with you. We're going to give you a little insider perspective. You're welcome. And we're going to talk about just, I think, how those lovely EVs keep on working, just like Bidenomics works for you. You know, looking around the gas prices on this holiday weekend, I believe if it's not the most expensive gas prices during a Labor Day weekend, is pretty gosh darn close. That's okay. Nobody wants to drive on Labor Day weekend, do they? I mean, you know, if you're just going to be like Robert L. Peters, you just get Marine Force One to take you out to the beach. It's really no problem. So I don't know what everyone else is complaining about. Bidenomics working for all of us. But you know, let me shift gears and let me take you back in time. A time of that, you know, I hesitate to go back to this place, but I think it is something that is going to be, you know, it's going to be, you know, beneficial. There's not going to be any closure. There's not going to be any happiness. No, you tuned in the wrong show for all of that. But there is going to be a good reminder of what we went through because one of our friends, your friend, my friend, everyone's friend, Dr. Ouchie Fauci himself, is stepping into the climate game, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. That's right. But first, I thought it would be an appropriate time to have a history lesson of what Dr. Fauci brought on to the United States of America. And we're going to build up to what he talked about with climate. But we have to take a look at this because I find myself, like all terrible experiences in the past, you know, the 6 years I took in high school and all those other things, the 5 years of third grade, you know, those things that you just kind of want to erase from your memory and just hit that control alt delete and start over again. Well, we've kind of done that with COVID, right? And maybe you were blessed enough, and I'm not even being sarcastic there. Maybe you were blessed enough to not live in a state where lockdowns were just absolutely insane. I lived in a state with the yellow police caution tape around the playground. I have 5 kiddos and the group of 5 rule was well in place. So I couldn't even go outside with my kids, even though we all lived in the same house. Kids locked out of school. That means talking to a computer instead of a teacher for well over a year, you know, and it's something where we look back now and we can say, oh, it was terrible, but we kind of knew it was terrible at the time, didn't we? And really, no one paid a price for that, as they should. And at the top of that list is none other than Dr. Ouchie Fauci. And let me just work with you on some of these things here. This is not comprehensive in any way, shape, or form. There is a much larger list of everything he screwed up in our country, in my state, in yours, no matter where you lived. And we're just going to cover a few because we need to see how deceitful and how arrogant and how narcissistic this guy is, because it looks like he could be changing his game. And it's not in a way that any of us are going to appreciate. So let's just be honest. He left government last December. And you remember why, right? He thought that the Republicans were going to take over all of Congress and he would get in real trouble. And he did a bit, right? He has a criminal referral to one House committee. And I don't know where that happened. That happened back in July or so forth. I don't know what's come of that. Maybe House Republicans can get on that if you don't mind. Because this guy, if there's anyone who deserves a criminal investigation, it's our friend Dr. Ouchie. But if you recall, let's go back to 2020. and look at fawning adulation and questions about his exercise regime and his, and they even made bobbleheads and people. And do you remember those bootlickers who had that yard sign out there? I trust Dr. Fauci. Idiots. Anyway, he was once dubbed America's doctor by the New Yorker. Let's just give it up for America's doctor, shall we? And it's funny because, you know, the state I lived in and the governor, as she was locking us down and we had to stand in line, no joke, no exaggeration, we had to stand outside the supermarket for 2 hours. No matter how big the supermarket was, you had to stand outside because they were only allowed for a certain capacity. You had to stand in line for 2 hours to get food. She would point to her health guy and say, well, he's like our own Dr. Fauci, as that was supposed to instill confidence. But let's take a look at the things that got wrong, his three biggest mistakes, maybe a few more, and how he's trying to double back on that right now. So let's just be clear. In the face of plummeting math and reading scores, those school lockdowns were terrible. And this is what he's trying to do now. He's trying to say that it wasn't me, right? He's given those quotes, and because he realizes it's all completely unpopular, we've seen the cost of it was socially, economically, absolutely terrible, and it didn't save anyone from COVID, right? He made these, the ugly truths are coming out, and now he is hiding. He's trying to wash his hands. And so he said, what did he say? He said that he it was raised eyebrows for denying that school lockdowns forever irreparably damaged anyone. Again, a man of medical science that we should all trust. And don't forget, if you're arguing with science, you are arguing with Dr. Fauci. And let's get to the vaccines, right? From the outset, his entire COVID mitigation strategy was based on an experimental vaccine rushed to the market under the branding of Warp Speed. And let's just be honest, there had never been, and this is a doctor speaking, there had never been an mRNA approved vaccine before, and now was being pushed nonstop from the White House podium, Dr. Fauci, with full support of the pharmaceutical industry. And here's the terrible part. It's still there. Let's take a listen to that representative you've never heard from before, but he sounds quite crazy. This is Representative Harold Ford and what he says about the vaccine.
I think the message from is get the shot if you want. I
if
will.
If you want it,
don't,
go ahead.
Don't get it.
You're going to get another one.
I just said I'm not going to ask anybody if they're getting their shot.
I won't wear a mask, but I'm going to get the shot.
You are? What number shot is this for you?
I've had it every so I do one in October. I had one in April.
How many? What's the total?
This will be my seventh.
Seventh shot.
And I've had COVID three times.
So another doctor writes, today the science is clear. The COVID vaccine does not prevent transmission or contagion of the virus. I'm sorry. I'm sure Merriam-Webster has already changed the definition of vaccine in their online edition, because that's what they do now. Whenever words get inconvenient for them, they just change it now. And vaccine used to meant if you're inoculated against an illness, then you don't get the illness. Well, we all know that, and that's nothing new. So we're going to just get into one more, probably his biggest goof up, his biggest error. And it's... let's go back a bit. I'm not even going to call it a goof up. A goof up is like, you know, me trying to cook dinner for the kids. They know it's going to be terrible tacos. That's just the way it's going to be. That's goofing up. This is an outright lie that Dr. Fauci, one of them that he told us from the very start of the pandemic, Anthony Fauci was putting his own agenda ahead of the public interest. So here's what happened. The House Oversight Committee has uncovered emails that found that Dr. Anthony Fauci went to great massive lengths to hide where the virus came from. Hint, boys and girls, it came from China. It came from the Wuhan lab. But do you remember when it was absolutely forbidden to say that? Do you remember when anybody who wrote that, any doctor who suggested that, anybody who even whispered, you know, this came from a lab, right? No, Dr. Fauci was pushing the nature theory, right? It was natural. It naturally occurred and gosh darn it. Well, why would Dr. Fauci do that? Well, we all know why, right? Because he had ties to the Wuhan lab. He had ties to the type of research, and he had supported the type of research that created viruses like the coronavirus. And he knew that once this pandemic was out, it could quickly point back to him. So what did he do? Well, he did a multi-step, let's just call it full court press, to try to hide the truth. First of all, he called up his fellow doctor buddies, doctors, by the way, who had raised the issue that, hey, you know what? This thing may get out of the lab in the future. He calls them up and says, we need a paper right now that says that this didn't happen. Right. And so he had a February 2020 paper that super duper pinky sweared. It didn't come out of the Wuhan lab. I promise I'm getting to the bigger point. And he coerced his other scientists into writing it. And here's the fun part, because he had approval over the paper. Right. And so that's like the teacher telling the kids, you're going to get graded on my review. Is it not? He had approval. And even though they said, you know, we wrote the paper, but he definitely prompted it. So this paper comes out and Fauci cites it everywhere he can. And not only that, he uses that paper to squash anybody who says the virus came from the Wuhan lab. And keep in mind, on the scale of lies that he's telling, this one's kind of big, but it's not the biggest. You know, your kid's been locked out of school. You've lost your job. Your business that you scratched and clawed to build had to shutter. I mean, state police were coming to your church services in some states, right? They were dumping sand at skateboard parks. They arrested a mom for taking her kids to the park because she had the audacity not to wear a mask. Do you remember all that? And so those lies were bigger, especially at the time, but this is the one that Fauci absolutely did not want getting out, because not only did he use this paper to cover himself with Congress to say, look, these scientists say it didn't come out of the lab, he used it to go to Facebook, to go to what was then Twitter, and to go to every big tech connoisseur he could to say, this is really the science, and anybody who says it came from the lab, you need to throttle their opinions. And not only throttle that, right? I mean, how many people got straight off banned? Well, this is all painting the picture of what this man did for COVID. And again, we've got limited time, so I can't get to all of it. But here's the part that, if you haven't vomited yet today, this may get you there. Here's what Dr. Fauci said this week about, wait for it, climate change.
But the climate change countering has to come from an international commitment to decrease the carbon imprint in society, so you don't have the kinds of crazy weather that we're having in this country. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, everything from the fire, the tragic fire in Hawaii, to Texas, which had something like 75 days in a row, over 95. I mean, it's completely, really amazing what's happened with climate change.
And so there you have it. You have Dr. Fauci. Now, keep in mind the moving goalpost that is his life. And I just, the image I have of Dr. Fauci is the one of him just smugly telling Congress that he's right and he knows everything. The one of him dropping his mask at the baseball game when he forced everyone else to wear one. And the worst part is, you know what? I tried to go watch a Star Wars show on Disney Plus, and the first suggested thing was just this, you know, lovely puff piece that Disney did on Dr. Fauci. They did like a whole documentary about how fantastic and wonderful. It was pushed in every one of our faces. It was America's doctor, was it not? And now America's doctor is going to have you believe that hot weather in July and August in Texas is climate change. He's having you believe that climate change is responsible for what happened in Hawaii. We know that's a lie. So the question is, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to respond to this guy? And I see the do not comply, and I'm so grateful for the leaders, particularly in Missouri, who are standing up and saying, yeah, we're not going to touch that. We're not going to be locked down. We're not going to do anything. I got to tell you, it's one of the reasons I moved here, if not the reason I moved here. You don't know how quickly freedom can be taken away. And the sad, difficult part is so many of the neighbors I was around who called themselves good, strong conservatives, they were the first to step in line with everything this man said when we knew that it was suspect. And now he's coming in to tell us about climate change because there's a new grift in town, boys and girls. Now, sure, they may try to continue to bring up those mask mandates, which they are. So they may try to revive COVID, as it were. But that's uncomfortable for Fauci, right? Because he was so wrong about COVID before, and he's been proven wrong about COVID before. So he needs a new scheme, right? And keep in mind, and not to disparage anybody who, as Rush would call them, is a seasoned citizen, but Dr. Fauci, at 81 years old, keeping your kids out of school? I mean, can you imagine a world where Dr. Fauci is okay with your kid not being taken to school because your school district has the audacity to use a diesel-fueled bus? What happens if you're not cooking your food on the stove that Dr. Fauci approved? You think it's impossible? We've seen it's completely possible. Hey, that's just the warm-up. We got more coming because I'm going to tell you how the media lies to you. All that and a whole lot more. You're listening to Power Punch. I'm grateful you are. We're coming back.
Get charged up on the truth. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Get charged up on the truth. You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome back. You have stumbled onto Power Punch. Thank you for being here. My name is Larry Behrens. I'm the host of Power Punch. I am also the communications director for Power the Future. We're an organization that advocates for America's energy workers. That's right. Environmentalists don't like us because we point out their lies every single day. And there's a lot of them. You know what? We're the ones that fight for energy workers. We're not the ones that sit in the middle of the road. And so that in and of itself, you should like me, right? You should be impressed. But I wanted to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart because it is one of the most unnerving parts of this whole debate, of this whole fight. And I know you know it too. It's in how the media covers the things that they cover and why they cover it. Let me just, if I can, go off script a little bit. I'm the only one who has the script, so I guess I really don't need to say I'm going off script, but just work with me for a second. So let me just say my early days, right out of college, dewy-eyed, ready for the world. I was going to make things a better place. I was actually a journalist. I was first a radio journalist and then a television journalist for an ABC affiliate in a top 50 market, which is TV reporter speak for not that good. But I did have the opportunity to, you know, work in a market where presidential candidates came by. I had the opportunity. I covered the border before it was cool. Boys and girls. And so it gave me a lot of insight into a lot of things. But one of the things it gave me insight into was the news business and how it works and in many cases doesn't work, right? And it is something that is eye-opening. And I'm talking, this is nearly 20 years ago I was doing this. And so fun fact, I remember talking to a news director about this new thing called Twitter and maybe we should be on it. And she said, thanks, but no thanks. Anyway, that's how long ago it was. So take that for what it's worth. But I think a lot of things haven't changed. I could tell you day one, they're showing me around and I'm meeting with this photojournalist. Don't call him a camera guy, photojournalist. And he is with a reporter and we're going out, we're covering this story. And they said, I'll take Larry along with him and just, you know, show him how it works on a daily day basis. And through the regular chit chat of the day, the photojournalist leans, I'm sitting in the backseat of the car, he goes, hey, don't really talk to, we'll call her Kate, the reporter. Don't really talk to Kate. She's a Republican. He literally says that day one. He felt comfortable outing her as Republican and he felt comfortable assuming that I wasn't. And he said that because I would later find out that they were an endangered species in the newsroom. Right? If you were a conservative, they had their ways of finding out. And so not only is it bias in the news and what they put on the air and what they put on the pages, it's also bias in omission and the things they choose not to cover because it is inconvenient for what they personally believe. And we see that all over the place, right? And that leads us into today's wonderful story, wonderful insight in what is going on here. First, let's get a little taste of someone actually reporting the news on Bidenomics this week.
The national average for a gallon of gas today, that's $3.82, about where it was a year ago, but 68 cents higher than 2 years ago. Now, combine that with the cost of a new home, and Americans are paying the highest they have in 22 years. The average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to 7.23% last week, a strain that buyers have not seen since 2001. A year ago, it was 5.5%. The rate surge comes as the Federal Reserve continues to try to chip away at stubborn inflation. And Americans are feeling it over overall everywhere they turn. According to the latest Fox News poll, 35% of registered voters this month reported that their personal financial situation is excellent or good. Now 65% reported only fair or poor. That second number up 19% from 2 years ago.
So there you have it. It's upfront and straight. Most Americans' financial situation is fair to poor. And I want to meet the folks who are doing fair right now. Oh, that's right. Biden family. That's right. They're doing fair. All the greeny friends, they're doing fair. Rest of us are more towards the poor category. But let me just tell you how it works today. And this is important because when you hear things like that, you're going to hear them less and less often. And I'll tell you why. Because the news that you are starting to hear, obviously not here, but we're going to be, you know, one of the beacons of truth, and we are one of the beacons of truth, but the news that you're going to hear both in the press and just inundated with you and on your liberal friend's social media feed is more and more going to be bought and paid for. And we've always kind of known that, right? We've always kind of known, hey, if, you know, so-and-so is a big advertiser at TV station, then maybe that TV station doesn't cover the news when it comes to negative news for that advertiser. Now, the journalist will scream. I hear all the eggheads at every J school and, no, we'll do it. We'll stand. No, you won't. Bunch of liars. No, you won't. And it gets even worse because not is it advertising anymore. It's just they're straight paying their paycheck. Let me share with you something that is important to understand. And I hate to sound like I'm lecturing a whole lot, but it's going to sound like a lecture. So sorry, real quick. So there is obviously, you know, a news organization called the Associated Press. And why they are so important is because of what's called syndication. So let's say, you know, Larry writes a little Associated Press story. It's that little thing when we used to read newspapers, they'd have the AP in the parentheses. That's how you knew Associated Press wrote it. That means that then it goes on what's called the wire, and any publication who subscribes to it in the world can then pick it up. They don't fact check it. They don't do anything. They can just pick it up and put it in their paper or put it on their broadcast, and it's supposed to be the gold standard of what is good because it's the AP. And publications, outlets pay to have the AP so that they can run these things. And so if your name gets mentioned in an AP story, it's not unusual for that story to pop up in thousands of different places, both broadcast and print and on the internet and all that good stuff, right? The reach is astronomical. It probably is the biggest reach in the media industry. And so when they talk about journalists, you know, writing the first cut of history, these guys are front and center of that, and they are not on your side. In fact, there is a group called All Sides. They're a group that tracks media bias in the industry, and last year they changed its rating for the Associated Press, aka AP, from center to leans left. And I'm about to tell you why. And it is something that is not just at the AP. It's at a whole lot of news organizations. The country's top wire service is now bankrolled in part by millions of dollars from left-wing foundations, including one founded by 1619 Project author Nicole Hannah-Jones. Let's see who else they've gotten money from, right? They are getting a whole bunch of money from the Rockefellers, millions of dollars from the Walton Foundation. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation spent $2.5 million on AP's climate education reporting verticals. Now, they want to talk down to you. They want to use a word like vertical to make it seem like it's not really coloring their reporting. No, this is a nonprofit organization run by ultra leftists. They spent $2.5 million so that AP writes what they want when it comes to climate. Who else do they spend money on? They spend money on Planned Parenthood and Advocates for Youth, which promotes transgender ideology for kindergartners. That is the same organization that is now buying your news. And here's how it works. They approach you and they say, listen, I know you're a cash-strapped newsroom, right? Reporters just aren't paid that much. Here's some millions of dollars. And if you've just always been wanting to cover climate, well, now you can hire reporters just to cover climate. And the AP swears up and down. They give you the journalistic pinky swear. Oh, we keep complete control. It is not, it has nothing. They don't get to dictate what we write. Okay. That's fine. That's super fine. And my kids would absolutely clean their room if I didn't bribe them with cookies. I mean, we're all dealing in reality here, and the Associated Press doesn't expect that we can see what's really going on. But we absolutely do. But then their stories get laundered, right? It's called media laundering. So they write this nice puff piece on how Bill Gates is the greatest in the world, and it's okay if you're flying around a private jet as long as you have millions to pay to the carbon offset shakedown industry. And the AP just says, okay. And that story gets repeated because people says, well, it's from the AP. Must be true. But no, they're getting millions. They got millions upon millions to cover climate. And do you for a split iota of a second think that if somebody actually questions the climate narrative, the green agenda, that that story is going to make it into print at the Associated Press? Of course not. And so they are buying your news. They are buying what you see and what you hear. And sadly, it gets worse. But, well, let's just hop into that right now. Did you know in a couple of weeks, congratulations, if you haven't already signed up, you still can. There's still time. There is, what are they calling this? An unprecedented conversation. Oh, what do liberals call it that? I guess because junket, where we stay in fancy hotels, fly our private jets, and eat food that we forbid others from eating, is just not a popular way. So they say, we're going to get together. We're going to have a conversation. It's a conversation. Okay, fine. So join leading journalists. This is an actual ad that is out there right now. Join leading journalists from around the world for an unprecedented conversation on how to cover, their words, not mine, a world on fire. Well, that sounds objective, does it not? They're going to have climate changes everything, creating a blueprint for media transformation. They are literally holding a boot re-education camp for the journalists who are not yet on board. It's free. You can go. You can hobnob with journalists that you love. And you can think, okay, Larry, who's going to be? I mean, is the Thrifty Nickel going to be there? I shouldn't poke fun. I love the Thrifty Nickel. And they're more accurate than probably the Washington Post and any day of the week. But it's not just smaller media outlets are going to be there. We're talking the French Press, CBS News, the Associated Press. Hey, remember those guys? Isn't it a great deal? Like, you have a leftist group funding your salary, and then you go to a junket to have an unprecedented conversation about a world on fire so that they can help write your stories for you. Time, the Times of India, and our good friends, wait for it, at the Weather Channel will be there too. They're going to join hundreds of colleagues to chart a course for tackling the climate story in ways that drive attention and impact while highlighting solutions and justice. Well, let's get into it. Let's see what they're going to talk about, because this is my favorite part. These are your betters, right? These are the ones that went to the journalism school. By the way, this fun exhibit is being held by your good friends at the Columbia Journalism Review, one of the premier journalism organizations in the world. Say Columbian Journalism Review to any journalist, and they'll react like Hunter Biden has, you know, crack in his backpack. They just get excited. They love it. They absolutely love it. So they're going to discuss whether new news outlets, this is their words, not mine, they're going to discuss whether news outlets should still take fossil fuel advertising and how journalists can grapple with climate disinformation. Advertising is the bread and butter of journalistic organizations. And here is a whole re-education camp, we're going to talk about a world on fire, dedicated to how are you going to get by? And let's do a little role playing how it works. Oh, hey there, dewy-eyed, wonderful journalist. Thanks for coming to our our unprecedented conversation. Thanks. I'm so glad to be here. You know, I'm from small town so-and-so newspaper, and we really struggle with ads. You know, we do a lot of great work. It's like, oh, well, not to worry. Over here is the foundation for so-and-so that when they're not writing checks to Planned Parenthood, can write a check to fund your whole newspaper for the next year. You're just going to need to write what we want. Okay, that was a truncated conversation, but you know that's exactly what's going on. Right. And if you think it's just the CBS News, the Weather Channels of the world, make no mistake, there are media laundering organizations popping up in your local newspaper. Open it up. You see something like, this is brought to you by the Independent, blah, blah, blah. Funded in part by a grant by. If it has an NPR type language, that means the leftist agenda is funding that story. No longer is it anything that's fit to print. It's anything that's fit to buy. And it gets better. Here's the you know, the global cherry on top of this. In addition to all those things where you get to decide if you're going to take fossil fuel funding or not, you won't need it anymore, right? Because they have millions of dollars from billionaires to be able to buy your integrity. Plus, get a front row seat to interviews with special guests and global climate luminaries. Their words, not mine. First of all, I appreciate a good title. Can you imagine like someone's grandma talking over the fence to another grandma? Oh, what's little Timmy doing? Well, you know, he's a global climate luminary. Ooh, wow. What, where do they even come up with this? And it's funny that the names aren't mentioned, right? It's funny that Bill Gates doesn't get mentioned. Will John Kerry be there? Who are going to be these people who are going to get shoved into a room with these journalists who are going to be writing, wait for it. Climate coverage around the world is better than ever, but so much more is needed. More energy, more creativity, more commitment, especially ahead to the 2024 elections. They're making their plans. Hey, if you're interested to, you know, all the activist journalists out there, that's September 21st and 22nd, I believe, in NYC, sponsored by your good friends at the Columbia Journalism School. This is what they are doing. They are buying your news. They are buying the journalists so that the truth that you know and you see with your very own eyes doesn't get out there. So when I played that soundbite at the very beginning, it's to show you that what happens when there are fewer and fewer outlets like that that tell the truth. Well, I'll tell you what happens. It's time to believe your eyes and stop believing your TV. But always, always believe your radio when it's tuned right here to Power Punch. We're so grateful to have you with us. We're going to talk a whole lot more. Hey, you want to talk about those billionaires coming up? We absolutely will. We'll be back right after this.
Get more Power Punch at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Get charged up on the truth. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
And welcome back to Power Punch. It's the last segment. What did you do to make this go so fast? Well, we're trying to give you all the information you need to get through the week of the disinformation that's coming from the eco left so that you can say, you know what, my gas stove, I love it. I'm not giving up. You can take a hike. Oh, that mask? Yeah, take a hike. We know the lies you're peddling because you're going to have fewer and fewer places where you can turn on that TV or search that internet website where you can get the truth. And you know what? The other side, for all the millions and billions that they spend, it's never enough. We're going to get to, you know, the real crux of what, you know, sometimes that you get caught telling the truth. And that happened with Robert L. Peters, a.k.a. Joe Robinette, a.k.a. Jimmy from the Block, a.k.a. President Joe Biden this week. Here's what he said when talking about what he's really going to need to change your weather.
We're in a situation where, you know, we're... How can I say it? There's still some deniers out there in terms of whether or not climate change has anything to do with any of this. And we're going to need a whole hell of a lot more money to deal with emergency appropriations, to deal with all you're taking care of.
And so let's add a little context, shall we? And just, you know, try to remember where Joe Biden was about a week before he made those comments, right? So Joe Biden admits that he's just going to need a lot more money. That $369 billion is not going to cut. I mean, it's like my teenage kids. What happened to the last $369 billion I gave you? Those TikTok videos are expensive. Anyway, Joe Biden is going to be demanding more money so that we can change the weather. And any little bad thing that, you know, we have happened in the world, hurricane, climate change, hot climate change, cold climate change. And he's got, we've already discussed, a paid off media of sycophants in the chorus of happiness to try to, you know, amplify that terrible message. And not only amplify that terrible message, but he's got Dr. Fauci on board, who is now a world-renowned expert at censorship, right? So if you try to speak the truth, I got to be honest, I'm surprised someone hasn't cut the power to your radio with me on it right now. And so where was Joe Biden about a week before this crazy statement that he needed $1 million or $1 billion or $1 trillion? No, that he just needed more money. And I'll give you a hint. Was Joe Biden on the beach? Was Joe Biden touring Hawaii? Was Joe Biden staying at the home of a billionaire, eco-billionaire, who donated to his campaign? Or was it D, all of the above? You got it, all of the above. He did all that the same week that Joe Biden left his... Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but he left his beach vacation to go on another vacation. Then he broke off his vacation to go to Hawaii to come back on vacation. It is, what is the latest stat? They say that Joe Biden has spent about 40% of his presidency on vacation. That's good work if you get it, but rest assured, Robert L. Peters has been on the job the whole time, so you guys, everyone just relax. Billionaire climate activist Tom Steyer, you may remember Tom Steyer as the guy who ran for president. I want to say he spent like $90 million of his own money on the campaign to pull like 1% in Iowa. Don't quote me on that, but it's pretty close. He provided his Lake Tahoe mansion for the Biden family vacation. Yeah, that's where he was. He went. Joe Biden went to vacation in Nevada, stayed at Tom Steyer's house, and it just so happens, it's just, look here, you cynics, just relax. It's just a coincidence, right? See, if I say that sarcastically, maybe I'll get some of that green money that goes into journalists. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, vacation, he stayed at Steyer's house. Tom Steyer also happens to manage a green energy investment fund. Coincidence, that's working to, quote, take advantage, end quote, of federal climate change spending provided through President Biden's so-called Inflation Reduction Act. Yes! What a good deal. I at some point, you just have to acknowledge it, right? You know, it's like when the opposing team's pitcher throws a no-hitter against your favorite team. You hate it. You absolutely hate it. You wanted to win the game. You don't want to be embarrassed, but you have to appreciate the mastery, right, of the scheming that it takes place at this type of level. Here is a guy who is already a billionaire, mind you. And he is one of those guys that probably has bought journalists all over the country. And I'm sure he'll, if he cuts a check to Fauci, Fauci will continue to say whatever he wants Fauci to say. And he invites the sitting president of the United States to come stay at his house in Nevada at Lake Tahoe. We've all been there, right? Out at Tom Steyer's Lake Tahoe house. Hey, is that on Airbnb? Oh, one star. At Tom Steyer's Lake Tahoe house, just as the money is rolling out from the Inflation Reduction Act. But it's cool. It's cool. You know what makes it cool? It's not their money. It's your money. It's my money. It's our grandchildren's money at this point, is it not? And you have a guy who is literally trying to scheme to get money from the Inflation Reduction Act, and the president is hanging out at his house. And then, was it a week later? We hear him saying, you know what we're going to need to fix this? That's right. More money. Just 2 months before the Biden family arrived at Steyer's $18 million property. Oh, it must be, you know, his cottage, his casita, as we call it out west, a humble home at $18 million. The liberal billionaire's green energy fund touted its work to take advantage of the financial incentives from the Inflation Reduction Act through an estate project that helps developers obtain taxpayer funds. That's right. He's already a billionaire. But he needs our money to save the earth, you jerks. Golly, we're just trying to save the earth here. And so the name of the company there, they invest in a slew of green energy companies that stand to benefit from the billions of dollars in uncapped tax incentives included in the Inflation Reduction Act. It's fantastic. Is it not? What a good little scheme. And I know I mentioned this a few weeks on the show, but it bears mentioning again because I'm pretty sure you weren't listening. Who used to work for Tom Steyer's green little energy investment firm? Oh, that's right. John Podesta. Who's John Podesta? Oh, yeah. Bill Clinton's chief of staff and Joe Biden's clean climate senior advisor and the guy who's in charge of the money. Sorry. It physically hurts at this point, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like it's strike three. I don't even want to say the galling part. One of the part that cringes the most is they don't even hide it, right? He literally goes and stays at Tom Steyer's place. By the way, the White House did respond to comment about it other than to say that Joe Biden paid a fair fee for staying at Tom Steyer's $18 million house. So imagine Steyer even gets the Airbnb money. He even gets the guest cleaning fee. And all the while, he's probably lobbying the president to send him more green money. And Joe Biden thinks, you know, that's a fantastic idea. Let me go say that to the press. And one of the few coherent sentences that I can get out of my mouth, I'm going to go ahead and say that to the press, that we just need more money. And that's the point, boys and girls. Isn't it? That is what the green movement is all about. And so I should come up with a jingle, like trying to end on a happy note, the Debbie Downer part, but there is some happy news out there, and it's happy news in the sense that, it's the truth that we all know to be true, but we see everyone else waking up to it and it makes you feel good. Right? Kind of like we discovered that rock band called The Truth and all your friends are discovering it. Well, that's how it is right now with the green movement. The folks are seeing that Bidenomics is a colossal failure and they don't need to believe what's on TV because that reporter's bought and paid for. They need to believe their own bank account, their own wallet, and see that it is an absolute failure as we're out here on the holiday weekend spending more on gas than ever before. But don't worry, you should buy an EV. Yeah, maybe I'll get some of that green money now. So, but it's, and the good news is it's not tough to find one. Car dealerships are telling auto manufacturing companies that they have more than enough electric vehicles in stock and don't want any more on their lots until their current inventory sells. This is from our friends, Gateway Pundit. Car dealers are turning away electric vehicles. Now, yes, you hear it from the leftists all the time, right? Our way is more affordable. It's better. And these electric cars, they're fantastic. They're just magical. And you know what? Everyone's going to clamor for them. The clamoring, boys and girls, is over. Let me read from the article here. I'm actually going to turn the page. Yeah, I still use physical paper. Relax. Tell your tree friends to just chill out for a second. Eat some granola, take a shower, and relax. Dealerships have 54 days of inventories on hand a couple months ago, but that EV inventory was more than twice that. So they say they kind of like to turn over inventory 12 times a year, so about once a month, right? And they have 4 months worth of EVs sitting on their lots. They've told that they're turning additional inventory away until they could sell what was already on their lots or that they plan to have on their lots soon. And here's the problem that they're finding. One insider quoted, having an EV is a significantly different ownership experience. That's how they're describing it. Kind of like, you know, when my wife, if she goes out with Brad Pitt, that's a significantly different dating experience than me. Yeah, an EV is a significantly different owner experience because typically lower range vehicles gets from a single charge and unavailability of charging locations relative to gas station. It's hard for the average customer to make that leap while spending an extra $10,000. Oh yeah, the cars are more expensive. So you pay a premium price to not be able to drive it as much. And they're wondering why that they aren't working. Then they found out that, you know what, because you'll hear the leftists say this all the time. They're going to say, well, they're popular. They're super popular. And by the way, I think I've mentioned this before, but is it required by law that if you buy a Tesla that you have to have a snotty license plate out of gas? Yeah, we get it, homeboy. We get it. You want to do a little distance test? Anyway, they have these EV cars and they say the sales are going up. Oh, the sales were more last year than the year before. Oh, the sales are more this year than they were last year. It's going gangbusters. What are you talking about? Well, their insiders are saying the pool of customers wealthy enough to afford an EV and are wealthy enough to be risk tolerant, to be willing to be an early adopter of the technology, they've largely bought their EVs. The market is tapped out. So you have it's a product that appeals to a very select group of people. People who don't mind paying a whole lot for a product that does less, and they don't mind paying for it first. And that's a kudos to you for going after that market, but it is one that's not sustainable. And that's why you see dealers saying, don't send me any more EVs. And the fun part is, this is a story I heard. There are dealerships now, and I won't mention the brand name because they'll get all mad at us, but there's dealerships now that have to upgrade the, you know, where they sell their vehicles so that they can quote unquote get EVs. But some of these dealerships in rural areas, they don't have access to the things that are needed, i.e. a lot of electricity to have the EVs there. So there was one dealer who actually built the whole EV facade, right? Here's the display. Here's the wall where we put the EVs in front. Here's the lettering on the wall. Looks fantastic. Looks fancy. Looks great. And here's how we charge them. And they got the little charging things there. And that's wonderful. You look behind the wall, I'll give you two guesses as to what you see. Here's a hint. It rhymes with diesel generator. Yeah, that's what they see. And that's the laffer curve of this whole situation. It is products that are abysmal, but you have billionaires who keep coming to the government trough of trying to get your money and my money because they just can't have enough. And for Joe Biden to say, that he needs more money in order to change the weather and has the audacity to call us denied. Remember, this guy was going to, you know, have unity over division. This was Mr. Unity over division, Robert L. Peters. He calls you. There are some still deniers out there in terms of whether or not climate change had anything to do with any of this. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to deny it. And we're going to take your little slanders and your little shots and your little condescending tones because we know what you're doing. Your poster children are Dr. Anthony Fauci. They're Bill Gates. They're John Kerry. They are outright liars and hypocrites. They're Tom Steyers who think they can buy the truth, think they can manufacture things that will then, you know, narratives that'll make them money. Well, we know it's all a scheme. It's all a grift. It's the Green New Steel. And it's reaching into our pockets every single day. And the $369 billion you got in the Inflation Reduction Act, for you to come out just a year later and say, we need more. We're going to need more. That is, in a nutshell, the green movement. They will never be satisfied until they take everything from you. They will demand everything from you. And when you've given them everything, when you've upended your life and you've spent the billions and you're eating the Beyond Meat and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing and your kids are at some re-education journalist camp, they'll ask for more. They are never going to be satisfied. It's past time to stand up. It's past time to say, we're not going to do it anymore. Do not comply. Great for masks. Great for vaccine mandates. But let's apply it to the green agenda as well. Refuse to comply. Hey, thanks so much for listening. You can find me on the Twitters. Yeah, I still call it that. All right, settle down. At Larry Behrens. If you want to send me an email, Larry at powerthefuture.com. Or if you want to see what we're up to, head on over to powerthefuture.com. Thanks so much for listening. Tell you what, I think we're going to do it again next week. I know.
Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.